people in my heart.
Morning. Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the third Sunday after Epiphany. So glad you're all with us. That was our first hymn being played just now, so I hope you're paying attention because the test is coming soon. I'm glad you're with us on this cold morning, though not as cold as some parts of Minnesota. I guess our men's group are glad we are not up there today instead of earlier this week, because it's a little chilly up on the northern part of our state. We did have a good time. I know the first day of fishing was a little slow, but the second day was great, so we caught some good fish, and I know Lee maybe had to turn down his hearing aids when he got in the same ice shack as my dad, but there you go. Exactly. Lee is a good listener, at least he doesn't interrupt, certainly prayers and thanks that we got up there and got back safe and sound and had a good time. And thanks for all those that helped drive and helped arrange everything. Definitely glad it's nice and warm in here because it's certainly cold in our state, and maybe that's a good reminder for us to remember those that may struggle with having enough to eat and having enough to keep them warm in this time of year. And maybe a word to those that are listening from home instead of coming into church, listening to the recording instead of coming in on this cold January morning. You can send your offering to Bethesda Lutheran. No, just kidding. 2150. All right, anyway. A number of announcements in the back, of course, as usual. A bunch of just different heads up about centennial activities and things that have come in, offering envelopes, picture directories. Calendars are still for sale, year-end statements, all kinds of things. There's a save the date about the ladies' spring gathering in April. We're going to do a Holden evening prayer service in February, that sort of first week in February. The Malmo Lions are having a dance around Valentine's Day. There's a little bit of information about a trip next year to Africa. That might be a fun thing to start thinking about if you might want to go to that. Operation Christmas Child. And then you'll see there the bishop. This sounds like a fun thing for both for people that may be interested in a little more creative theological opportunities. The Bible Brew at the Lake at the Camp Onomia. The bishop, for those that don't know, brews his own beer. So he'll be providing, I guess, some information both about that and I think general conversation. I know there's also some pamphlets out there on the table out there for men that may be interested in a Lakes Area Men and Mission Retreat that's coming up near the end of February. So that's up in Brainerd, so possibly keep that in mind as well. And then we'll be doing a drawing for the raffle, right? Right, okay.
It's the last day to get your lucky ticket, and Pastor will pick your name.
And any bribes will go into the offering plate. No, I'm just kidding. Please. And then next month will be hearts, so I know that'll be coming out soon. So we'll be drawing some snowflakes here. Anything else we need to announce at this time? Special thanks to our special musicians, Sheila and Jim, this morning. So we'll get to hear a nice duet of some special music. If anyone else would like to contribute special music, I know we have lots of talented folks out there, and even if you're only slightly talented, we'll be happy to have you come and provide some wonderful music for our congregation. Or if you, dance or, we can get creative, but we'll start with the musicians first. So, all right. Anything else at this time?
A big thank you to all who participated last Sunday in our snow day.
It feels like a month ago, I know. But yeah.
Adults playing games, kids playing games, the fellowship hall was full of laughter and fun, and if you want to check up on what was going on, I know you can look at Facebook. Val has put in some wonderful
pictures
and stories.
Yeah, there's a whole, it was well documented, so thanks to Val for, makes you a little nervous, you gotta be careful, you don't scratch your nose in the wrong angle, Val, snap a photo, but anyway, All right, well, if there's nothing else, then our opening hymn is hymn 574, Here I Am, Lord.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, I will hold your people in my heart.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives." In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, your Son Jesus taught many things that helped many people to know him. You love humanity. Help us to live in your love so that we might be beacons of light for others. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our main and gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And please read responsively our psalm section for this morning from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of the scoffers. The light is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I always feel a little bit bad admitting, especially since my stepmother is an English teacher, that a lot of the books you read in your childhood kind of don't remember too much thereafter. You know, there's a few that stick with you because maybe they're fun. Maybe there is something in them that really connects with you. But it's kind of, you know, I suppose humbling when you think of all the stuff that you once learned and is now faded from your mind. But I was remembering one book I do remember from my school days, in probably middle school or high school, that classic work by Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Now, Brave New World is a book that's what they call one of those dystopian novels, right? It's a world that is a dark vision of the future. But unlike one of the other classic dystopian novels, George Orwell's 1984, maybe the twist about Brave New World is that it doesn't exactly seem completely dystopian, at least not at first. This is a world where many of the ills have been figured out. There's not a lot of sickness or illness. There's not a lot of unhappiness. People just kind of float along doing pretty okay. There's all kinds of entertainment in this world. There's all kinds of, as I'm sure some of you heard back in the 60s, a lot of free love. There's a lot of free pharmaceuticals as well, if that's your sort of thing. It's a sort of blandly pleasant sort of world. People are feeling pretty good. Not a lot of stresses or sufferings going on, at least on the surface. In fact, every so often, people will debate which dark vision of the future we are most closely approaching, Huxley's or Orwell's. In 1984, by George Orwell, it's a much more oppressive kind of a government. They are controlling every aspect of life. They're even controlling the vocabulary that people speak. They seek to change the words and therefore the thoughts of their people. But in Huxley's work, in Brave New World, it's not so much that the government tries to control it. Maybe there's a little bit of that, but it's more that they're trying to engineer it so that we just simply don't care. So that we don't care to really bother with things because things are pretty much figured out. And if not, well, then you just take, as I said, one of the free pharmaceuticals that are offered here and there and you just don't care anymore. You're numb to whatever remaining problems there are in the world. Why bother to slog through Shakespeare or some old history book or the Bible if every desire is tended to and cared for? Near the end of the book, there's this great climactic scene, a great debate between the ruler of this supposedly civilized, enlightened society, a man named Controller Mond, Controller being his title, and perhaps a clue that this is, in fact, a dystopian book. A debate between him and this sort of man from one of the few remaining wild areas of the world, the places outside the control of society, a man named John the Savage. He didn't add the savage onto his own name. That's what they added onto his name, because they saw him as this wild, savage person, even though he was probably more well-read than the rest of the populace, because he had discovered works of Shakespeare and the like out there in the wild. But John argues with Controller Mond that as much as they've gotten rid of all the stresses and pains of life, that perhaps they've also lost other things, more important things. Things like nobility and passion and sacrifice in God. The controller notes that, well, but once a month we do let people go in for passion treatments, right? We pump them full of adrenaline and they get that experience of fear and anger all out, all this unpleasantness out of their system. It's too inconvenient to let that happen naturally. But John replies, but I like inconveniences. We don't, says the controller. We prefer to do things comfortably. But I don't want comfort. I want God. I want poetry. I want real danger. I want freedom. I want goodness. I want sin. In fact, says Controller Mond, you are claiming the right to be unhappy. All right then, says the savage defiantly, I'm claiming the right to be unhappy. Not to mention the right to grow old and ugly and impotent, the right to have syphilis and cancer, the right to have too little to eat, the right to be lousy, the right to live in constant apprehension of what may happen tomorrow, the right to catch typhoid, the right to be tortured by unspeakable pains of every kind. And there was a long silence. I claim them all, said the savage at last. And Controller Mond shrugged his shoulders. You're welcome, he said. Our reading this week from the Gospel, from one of the most famous passages in the Gospels, perhaps, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and perhaps the most famous section out of that passage, the Beatitudes, which seem to lift up all those inconveniences that the controller was talking about. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the grieving. And it's hard maybe we're tempted a bit to agree with the controller and disagree with Jesus here, right? When we first read that, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the grieving. You kind of imagine maybe in that audience, there were people rolling their eyes so hard that they strained something, right? They're thinking, blessed are the grieving. Jesus, I just lost the love of my life. I don't feel blessed. That is perhaps the exact opposite of what I'm feeling. And in fact, in the Greek, it would be even maybe more shocking because the word that's being used is sort of halfway between blessed and the word for happy. It's like Jesus is saying, happy are the grieving. Even if I could maybe work my way around to feeling blessed, happy. I don't feel happy, Jesus. I don't feel happy that I'm meek. I don't feel happy that I'm suffering. In fact, this is the kind of thing we warn people about, right? When they're trying to give pastoral care to one another. You don't just throw a bunch of sunshine at them when they're in this dark, depressed state. You sit with them in that place. You shine a little light. We were talking about that last week, right? You bring a little light, but maybe you don't blare it in their faces. You don't try to sell them on every silver lining, every aphorism that can come to your mind. You just maybe need to be a little quiet and be with them in that dark place for a little while before you turn the light up a little bit more, inch, step by step. But then, of course, we maybe take another look at our Bible. And we see just who it was in those crowds that were gathering around him right before this sermon. And certainly it would have been those crowds. Even it's hard to tell from the gospel if the crowds are still around Jesus or if it's just the disciples at this point, or maybe Jesus has the disciples next to him, but he's still speaking loud enough. But in any case, we read in just the verses right before our reading today that Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of disease and sickness among the people. So a report about him spread throughout Syria. People brought to him all who suffered with various illnesses and afflictions, those who had seizures, paralytics, and those possessed by demons, and he healed them. And large crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan River. You know, there are so many moments in the Gospels where Jesus is healing people. And so maybe we just sort of gloss over it after a certain point. We just sort of skim over that part. But Jesus knew who was in that crowd. And it wasn't just the sick people. Not just people suffering from mental and physical illnesses. And more than that, he saw sick people people didn't just see them as sick. That was the challenge in that society. It wasn't just that they were ill. It wasn't that they just had some ailment, but they were seen as cursed people, right? They weren't just sick people. They were cursed people. They were people that you wanted to keep out on the edges of your society. We might remember that story of what the person called the Gerasene demoniac, right? They tried to bind him in chains because he was just, flailing about and possessed with demons. But he was too strong for the chains, so they sent him out into the edges, out into the wilderness, living out in caves among the tombs. These were the people that society wanted to be rid of, these cursed people. And now Jesus is calling them blessed. the people that everybody else would look on and just wanted to keep them far away, Jesus is welcoming them in. And not just them, and I think this is important too, but also in that crowd gathered around Jesus are the people who care about those people that are cursed. Right? The people that brought them here, right? You know, all the people that are struggling, that are dealing with some mental and physical illness, they didn't necessarily drag themselves there. These are the friends and the family, the mothers and the brothers and the sisters and the fathers that cared about these people, that didn't want them to be pushed out to the edges, that are dealing with these people day after day, trying to get them some help, but are so frustrated because they can't. And now they brought them to this Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to them too. That those that they love, that everybody else curses, that those people are blessed. And that they, the caregivers, are blessed. In fact, maybe they are the main audience, those caregivers. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Jesus doesn't want us to suffer. Jesus does try to seek to comfort the suffering. And Jesus also seeks to comfort those who are suffering because they're comforting the suffering. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, because perhaps the whole reason they are poor in spirit is because they're pouring their spirit out day after day into people that they care for, people that they are running themselves ragged for to care for. Blessed are those who mourn, because they're the ones that take the risk over and over again of loving people, people who are mortal, people who are illness and injury prone. Blessed are the meek, because they give all their strength to others. Blessed are those who hunger, because they take what they have and they give it to others. They share it with those who are hungry, far hungrier than they. Blessed are the merciful, because they forgive those who are hard to love. Blessed are the peacemakers and the persecuted and the insulted, because they know that violence for violence, that an eye for an eye, will make the whole world blind, as someone once said. You know, I don't think Huxley's world would probably come to pass, probably, but I think he makes a good point. The pursuit of pleasure can be its own kind of prison if we numb ourselves to everything else going on in the world. God calls us to respond to the sufferings of the world, but God isn't asking us to look for shortcuts. Certainly medication has its place. Even self-medication, as we talked about last week, there can be a healthy way to handle that. But faced with the suffering and grief and loneliness in our world, in ourselves or in others, we are not meant to numb ourselves so completely that we just don't care. Because eventually we will numb out the beautiful things in the world too. We will numb out the noble things in ourselves, the wonderful things in ourselves and in our world. You know, we don't live in a world that has fixed every problem. And not to be pessimistic, but it probably is not going to happen anytime soon. We might not be able to change the world, not completely. We can't get rid of a world of grief and pain and loss, not completely anyway. But we can be salt and light. We can make things a bit tastier. We can, as salt brings out the best in food, we can help bring out the best in ourselves and others. We can shine a light. We may not be able to cast away the darkness completely, but we can do what we can to keep it at bay. We can sit with someone in that darkness, and we can bring our lamp, maybe a little soft at first, but then we can keep turning it up bit by bit. And it won't always be easy. Few things are as exhausting as loving someone. But when you are tired and your spirit seems faint, remember, blessed are you. Blessed, not cursed, are you. Amen. Thank you. Please rise as you are able. Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Empower bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, evangelists, and all members of Christ's body with your Spirit. Open our hearts to hear your word of life and respond in lives of service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth, for all creatures of the land, air, and water. Heal environments damaged by disaster or pollution. Make us wise stewards of all you have entrusted into our care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations. Liberate us from our captivity to fear and ways of violence. Free those who are unjustly imprisoned and those who are imprisoned for working for freedom. Give us vision to seek the pathways of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, rescue those who suffer abuse or neglect. Bring an end to hunger and greed. Accompany those who are alone or vulnerable. Comfort those who grieve and all who are ill. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly. Bless those who proclaim your word and those who teach. Bless those whose talents are not recognized. And teach us to honor the gifts of all your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we lift up other prayers this morning. We remember in prayer Sandy Pullen and her family as they mourn the loss of her mother, Millie. We pray for the family of Francis Berge, a member of ours many years ago, and who also was part of Holden Lutheran Church, who passed recently. We also lift up in prayer the mother of Artie Hines, Rosie, as we pray for her health and her family who accompany her in this difficult time. And now we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts, those prayers of concern, prayers of thanksgiving, and anything else we wish to lift up at this time. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us in the faith. Wipe away all tears and bring us with them into the joy of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
When heaven is filled with his praises, One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that he of nations stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now has ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Death could not hold him, grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious
God of all creation, all that you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us in this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's abundant life for you. All are well. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at the banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free, use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect your glory, revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 543. 543.